Slinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all right. We're all right. The MTG in Quarantine Podcast.
Heyo, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started here, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And if you want to pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat, you can head on over to Inked Gaming, that is I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer, and you're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So again, you can go on over to Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. I'll have the link in the episode description below. Click on that. Every purchase helps support the channel, and it's greatly appreciated. Also, one last thing, I am a brand ambassador for the one and most awesome Quiver Time cases. So if you need a bolt case to hold all of your magic cards, sleeves to hold your magic cards, deck boxes to hold your magic cards, I think you're seeing a pattern here, or a playmat tube to hold your playmat, you can go on over to quivertime.com and utilize either my reference code, which will be in the episode description below, or the code at checkout MTGIQ, all in lower caps. Again, that is MTGIQ. And you can get, you can definitely help support the channel with my affiliate code. And again, all purchases are greatly appreciated. Now, on to the show. So, I've been kind of in a rut, if you haven't noticed these last couple of months, just kind of lacking the inspiration for doing new podcast episodes. I've still been around, I've been playing Magic, I just really haven't had a lot of great ideas coming across my mind. And then about a week or two ago, I thought to myself, well, if I'm running out of ideas for good podcast episodes, why don't I just go back to the beginning? And you're going to say, well, MJ, what do you mean you're going to go back to the beginning? Are you going to have terrible audio quality? Is it going to be that bad? And then I'm going to say to that, no, but there are some things I did like about my very early podcast episodes, in the fact that I honestly was just talking about things that I really enjoyed about Magic. And I think with my lack of ideas and inspiration these last couple of months, it wouldn't hurt to return to just me talking for 15 minutes about what I really enjoy about Magic. So today's episode is going to be something that's kind of been kicking around in the back of my brain for a while, and I know it's extremely controversial, but again, I'm not going to talk about controversy because that's not what I do here. If you want to listen to controversy, go listen to other shows and podcasts that feed off of that stuff, but I'm not going to do that here, and that is a promise. So anyway, without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's episode as what I like about Secret Lair cards. And obviously, hearing Secret Lair sends a lot of folks, large creators and small creators and community members alike, going absolutely bat crazy, right? You know, these are very divisive in some circles. As you know, they kind of started off with the Walking Dead Secret Lair a couple years ago. That was obviously saying it's controversial is kind of underselling it at this point. And now that we're just getting an absolute deluge of Secret Lair products just coming out all the time, I think a lot of folks are really losing interest in this sort of thing. But again, I'm not going to talk about those sorts of things. I'm just going to talk about what I really enjoy about the Secret Lairs. So I remember when the first Secret Lairs came out, it was a really cool concept. Obviously, Wizards was still trying to figure out exactly what they were trying to do with it. And the concept of having alternate art on cards was actually really, really cool. Around 2020, we didn't really have a lot of alternate art cards. It really wasn't a thing in Magic at the time. And getting brand new artwork for fan favorite cards was super cool. And over the years, we've started to see a lot more diversification in the types of styles utilized for Secret Lair cards. So I just have a page up on TCG Player here. Again, a page you would open on there of Secret Lair cards, singles from the Secret Lair set would be very different. But when I look at these particular cards, I see very, very many different styles at work here. We have the Deafening Silence, which, you know, is a very colorful kind of postmodern look at a very simple one mana enchantment. You have a Phyrexian on there, you have the obviously the white mana symbol, and just kind of a bunch of dots and colors with a gradient between kind of a off orange and an off brown. And it's, again, you're not going to see this kind of color typically in a regular Magic set, given the fact that Magic still works with a lot of traditional paintings. So you're not going to see this kind of art on a card in a typical Magic release set. Right next to it is an island, which was done in a very, very, very different style. Actually, the cool thing is I actually have met the artist for this one, Ben Makes Stuff. So shout out to Ben. Met them at DreamHack Dallas last year. Great person to talk to, great person to play with, and awesome artist, honestly. It's a kind of a synthwave type island. It's very difficult to describe if you don't have it up on the screen, but just imagine kind of a mountain sticking up in the front of the frame with, you have kind of a sun or a moon. I guess it's a moon, I'm not quite sure, in the background, as well as just all of these kind of Tron style diagonal lines all over the rest of the card. So again, these two cards show a huge difference just in pretty much every single way. And yeah, then you end up getting to something like a Shieldred, Whispering One from the Phyrexian Praetor's Secret Lair drop series. And it's basically the exact same card as you would normally get with the Shieldred when that was first released, except all the text on the card, except for the mana cost and the power toughness, are in Phyrexian. So again, you're not really reinventing the wheel with this particular version. It's just you're changing the language on the card. In that way, it's almost no different than just having a foreign language card. It's just an invented language that has come out of the Magic lore, and that's really cool. It was maybe the one Secret Lair I've ever gotten, just because I needed a couple of copies of the Praetors for certain decks. So I actually do have a copy of this in Phyrexian in one deck. I may not use it anymore, but that again, that's not the point. And then we have this Rampant Growth here, which, again, trying to figure out exactly what this is. It looks like a couple of people fighting off against plants or something. Some person with an axe trying to chop up, it looks like an orchid bloom. Someone else with a couple of spray bottles, and then someone attacking some sort of flower with a beak in it, kind of like evoking kind of a Star Wars Sarlacc pit sort of thing here, attacking you with a weed whacker. Okay, I have not seen this before. That's interesting. I'm not exactly sure what's going on over there. But and yeah, so there's that kind of style. We had the stained glass planeswalkers that from War of the Spark that came out, which all look really, really nice and are all honestly very, very cost effective, unless you're talking about like the top one or two costing cards from that particular set. But if you're looking for an uncommon commander, an uncommon planeswalker, they just look really nice and they're super cheap. And then obviously I'm going to give a huge shout out to Godo, who honestly just looks amazing in Secret Lair version. You just have Godo charging on, I'm not quite sure exactly what kind of beast that is, but basically charging straight at the player, and has that super metal text up top saying Godo Bandit Warlord, and then obviously has the text box a lot more readable, which is real nice. So you're probably asking me, well, MJ, why are we talking about these particular cards? Why am I spending time explaining these Secret Lair cards? And really, the reason I'm explaining them is because Secret Lair has really, I think, opened up a lot more art styles to Magic. Obviously, I love the traditional art styles of the regular cards, and I never want that to change. Obviously, I'm also kind of the same person who really likes 2D animation. And it makes me kind of sad that we're only seeing 3D and CGI these days, where I still kind of like the old style animation. And again, that's nothing wrong with newer stuff, but you know, I did kind of like the old style. But again, in this particular case, I really enjoy these Secret Lairs, at least the concept of them. Obviously, I'm not running out and buying all of these. There are just so many Secret Lairs and then cards I don't really need. And then, again, for every card you don't really need, or I feel like I personally don't need, you're going to have like an island where you get one per Secret Lair. Well, there's a reason this island itself is $9 specifically. And, you know, if you're playing a mono blue deck, well, you know, you might need 30 of these. Well, that's a lot of money when you do the math just for basic islands. And I feel like most folks are not going to be able to do that. So, unfortunately, the Secret Lair, I feel like, especially with the land, the fact they only get one per kind of stinks. But when you go, or like the full text lands, I love the full text basic lands. For instance, the Plains, I'm just going to kind of read off a little bit here. There's no art box to this. And it says, Plains, basic land, Plains. This card's name is Plains. Basic is its super type, land is its card type, and Plains is its subtype. A deck may contain any number of basic land cards with the same name, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, the whole text box is filled with basically the rules text for how Plains works, or you know how that particular land works. And I love that, honestly. I've always found those absolutely hilarious, especially when you drop them in a game. Folks really don't know what to make of it because they've never seen that kind of weirdness on a Magic card before. It just completely throws out convention entirely to give you something brand new that no one's ever seen before. And honestly, when I go to conventions, I'm starting to see a lot more of these Secret Lair cards getting out there. So a lot of folks are really starting to take advantage of getting these cards. And in some cases, I think the prices of these cards are actually going up in some cases too. Because as more time passes since they were released, there's fewer copies out there in the markets, price is going to go up. But again, I'm not really here to talk about the market or anything. I'm just here talking about how enjoyable it is to see these different takes on Magic cards. Again, I'm just going through the list here, kind of just seeing all the different things here. Again, it's very difficult to explain all of these things, but it's really cool to see, like I said, many different art styles, many different just styles in general that can be smashed together into a deck utilizing your favorite cards. So we've come a long way since The Walking Dead Secret Lair. And honestly, I think it's in a good way. I don't necessarily agree with Wizards' selling practices in regards to these Secret Lairs, because again, these are a lot of money. And in most cases, you as a consumer are probably not going to want to buy or want to have all of the cards in the set. Unless you're lucky, obviously. But in most cases, you're probably going to need some cards you don't necessarily want. So unfortunately, I would say probably best to buy singles if you're looking for one particular card from a Secret Lair. But again, I don't really see any problem with having various different styles of cards being released that allow folks to basically trick out their deck with alternate arts and maybe even just find a brand new card that they didn't know they needed until they see it in a Secret Lair drop. For me personally, I do have a couple of the Signets in artist-proof form of the... I'm trying to remember... So the Dan Frazier, I believe, Signet line that was done a year or two back, I do have some artist-proofs of those now in my collection that have been signed. And honestly, they look really cool. I'm going to find a home for them in a deck somewhere. Again, I haven't quite found a home for them just yet, but I just got them, and they look really cool, and I will be utilizing them eventually. Because, again, Secret Lairs are meant to be played with, just like Magic cards. And, again, I really enjoy the art, I really enjoy everything about it, but on the other hand, I get these cards because I want to play with them. And I don't see a lot of use in just having them sit around doing nothing. I'd rather play with my Magic cards. And again, there's nothing wrong with allowing them to sit back and, you know, be art pieces. Because again, that's what's really cool about Magic, is it's basically a collectible art show in some ways. And even the quote-unquote worst cards that really don't see in Constructor or even Limited play can still have some really killer art on them. So we can enjoy them as Magic players, just witnessing, just seeing these cards on the table and enjoying the silly art, or just, you know, seeing a cute cat version of Lord Windgrace versus just seeing the most brutal metal mountain you're ever going to have, which has the mountain symbol above a skeleton skull that just has flames shooting from its eye sockets. I mean, these cards have absolutely nothing in common, honestly, except for the fact you can play them in the exact same deck. And again, they look really, really cool. And I honestly just love the fact that Wizards is willing to branch out and try something new. Again, just looking at the cereal box secret layers, I'm looking at Galt the Primal Hunger right now. You have the happiest looking dinosaur basically just standing there or sitting there with a spoon above a bowl of very questionable looking cereal. But again, I don't see anything wrong with that, because I think those are funny. Honestly, I really like the art style. And the fact that they are available for players who want them is pretty awesome. So yeah, honestly, though, that's my two cents on Secret Lairs. I want to hear what you think. So you can, if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can drop, at least I think it's on Spotify, maybe it's still on Anchor, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, you can drop your comments in the episode description and let me know what you think about Secret Lairs. Obviously, please keep it positive, because I really don't want to deal with negativity in my show. So yeah, just drop a comment there. And yeah, this is MJ. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. Again, here at the end of the episode, I'd like to give another huge shout out and thank you to my local game store, as well as the awesome folks who are supporting me over at patreon.com/MTG in Quarantine. So again, a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And again, don't forget that I am a Quiver Time ambassador, so you can pick up a Quiver Time Bolt, Orion Playmat Tube, or any other Quiver Time product. Again, you can find the reference code for everything in the Patreon, in the Linktree link in the episode description below. And again, this is MJ. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. I hope you have a great rest of your day, everybody.